court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
So there's been a lot of talk going on and a lot of complete media attention to the election process.
As there should be.
Can't get away from it.
No, you can't get away from it.
In this podcast, you're still not going to get away from it because we're going to talk today about the Electoral College.
I hate this election and we still got to talk about it.
That's right. We just got accepted to the Electoral College.
Well, that's good. Maybe I can pass this one. Maybe I can ace this one.
You can ace the Electoral College?
Yeah, I didn't do too good at the last college I went to.
At Marshall?
Yeah. Is that an online college? Is that like the University of Phoenix or whatever?
The Electoral College?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not actually a place, but it's actually a process.
A process.
Yes. It's the
life is a process.
Indeed it is.
It's more about the journey than the destination. Remember that, grasshopper.
I was just about to say grasshopper. Sometimes it's scary that the fact that my mind has melded so much from yours, I think.
I've completely warped you.
Yeah. growing up with you around has warped my brain.
Hey, wait a minute. You know what I hear?
What's that?
It's an update. It's an update. We haven't had an update in a while. And I had to give one.
All right. What's the update?
We have an update on two different things.
Really?
A couple episodes ago, we talked to everybody about scams.
We did. That was all about Nigerian princes and tales of having to get rich and money.
Exactly. And then just yesterday, it comes out in the news that the U.S. busted a scam ring that was running the IRS scam that we warned you about, where they call and say, you owe money and you got to send it right away or we're going to come arrest you and we're going to put you in jail. And they actually found about 12 people in the United States that were related to it. And they busted a call center in India with 61 people that they arrested. And these people have bilked 15,000 people out of about $300 million. They fell for this ruse. They sent Target gift cards to India or whatever. Now, I imagine those 12 in the United States probably picked them up somehow. But that was going on, and, you know, that was one of the things that we were talking about.
When did that happen?
That happened just yesterday. The bust took place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got the paper right here today where they were talking about it. Of course, paper's always a day late.
Yeah, you do actually have a real actress. Honest to goodness paper in your hand.
Well, unlike most people, I still read the actual paper.
Yeah.
I don't read it online or whatever. I have the guy delivers it to me. It's not the paper boy anymore. It's a paper man.
I'm kind of like Egon from Ghostbusters. Print is dead.
Well, it may be, but I like to hold this paper in my hand while I drink my coffee in the morning and read it. I'm just old school like that.
There is something very comforting about that. I actually agree.
Now, I do throw it away the next day. I don't save them or anything unless it's for our show that I need to look at something and make sure I give out my numbers right, because most of the time I'm only half right.
You don't have any kind of crafting that you save your papers for, like making paper mache projects or anything like that?
No, I don't like paper mache stuff. That's too much work.
It is.
I just throw them away. And then the other update has to do with our creepy clown episode, which was our last one last week.
Well, that was very timely with the Halloween. I'm sure we got some stories about that.
And I predicted at the time, somebody's going to get shot. Somebody's going to walk around out there with a creepy clown costume, and they think they're funny, and they're going to get their ass shot. Well, I was half right, as usual. Somebody did get stabbed. They sent us the news story from Germany where some guy went out in a creepy clown costume threatening people, and somebody else pulled out a knife and stabbed him.
Did they stab his donkey too?
Stab his donkey?
Yeah, he said they were going to shoot his ass.
That's not the one I was talking about. I was talking about the one that you shoot with the arrow because that's just funny.
I don't know, man. I think shooting a donkey in the butt with an arrow would be pretty funny, too.
But here's the thing.
You pin a tail on him.
You pin the tail and you shoot the ass. But here's the thing. By the time we post this video, it will be, well, Halloween Day, I guess, for most people, Monday the 31st.
Right.
We're actually doing this prior to that, and there hasn't been any, you know, reports of anybody being shot yet, but the weekend is still young at this point.
So you're saying there's still some time for some clown violence.
There's still chance for clown violence, and I may be proven completely right instead of halfway right. Somebody may still get shot, and I can say, I told you so.
So cross your fingers and your big shoes that we get some actual clown violence we can talk about and say, yes, we told you so.
Actual clown violence.
Yeah, because there's nothing better, even at the risk of violence, there's nothing better than a good I told you so.
And I'd say, homie, don't play that.
I totally forgot about Homie the Clown.
Homie the Clown. Homie, don't play that.
I'm going to have to watch some Homie the Clown videos. Those are awesome. I have not seen that guy. That was a Wayans, right? Which Wayans?
Yeah. Was it Damon Wayans?
It was Damon Wayans, yeah. Yeah, there's the Wayans brothers always have all this different funny stuff from Living Color.
They are hilarious. He's back on TV again.
Is he?
Yeah, in the new remake of what is it? The Mel Gibson movie that he made with Danny Glover.
Oh, Lethal Weapon?
Lethal Weapon, yeah. It's a TV series now.
They're doing a TV series for Lethal Weapon?
Yeah, and Damon Wayans is playing the Danny Glover part.
He's getting too old for that crap.
Well, that's what he says. And there's some other dude I've never seen before. I don't know who he is, but he's playing the Mel Gibson part because, of course, who would want Mel Gibson to play Mel Gibson anymore?
Not even Mel Gibson.
Yeah, not even Mel Gibson would cast himself. No. And he looks like Moses or something now.
Does he?
He's got this great big beard and everything, and he, I don't know. I can't imagine him getting cast as anything other than Moses right now.
Beards are kind of cool these days.
Oh, not this beard. Not this beard. He looks more like a hobo or a homeless person. If he wasn't dressed in a suit, I'd have thought he was homeless.
Well, I am saying that because I just grew a beard recently for the first time. So,
well, that's true.
That's
what you grew it while you were on your elk hunting session.
That's right. It was an elk hunting session.
So you have your elk hunting beard.
And I came back, and now I'm just it makes me look kind of scholarly, I believe.
Or scruffy.
No, I just got it trimmed. I got my first beard trimmed at the barbershop. Huh. Very, very trimmed.
I tell you what, I worked at the railroad for 21 years, and they didn't like that. They didn't like people to have beards.
At the railroad?
They tolerated mustaches, but beards for the supervisors, you didn't grow a beard. You got penalized for that.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been penalized for having a beard yet.
Well, I went through a management training program. There was another guy in the program with me, and the guy that he worked for, every morning when he'd come to work, he'd open up his desk drawer and there'd be a razor in there because this guy had a beard. His boss was giving him a hint, and he kept leaving razors in his drawer. And he said, I don't know. I think this guy's pretty dumb. He hadn't taken the hint yet.
Sounds like a hostile work environment to me.
Well, that's what the railroad is 24/7.
Well, today, as we mentioned earlier, before we went into the
update. We have to have updates.
No, I like the update section.
We have to be relevant.
The update section is great. And the update section is kind of neat, too, because I never know what you're about to update us about.
I like to keep you in suspense.
You constantly do this podcast.
That reminds me of an old joke that was, it was okay when I was a kid, but you can't tell them anymore, so I just have to leave you all in suspense because I can't tell it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad because I was just about to say this is definitely mark this for editing.
It would be, so I'm just going to skip it altogether.
We are going to discuss the election process for president of the United States, most particularly the Electoral College, as we mentioned earlier, which is not a place but a process.
It's not a place?
Not a place.
You can't go to the Electoral College and get a degree?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so, or you know so?
I mean, I have not scoured the web to determine if there is a place called Electoral College, but this is not what we are talking about today. The Electoral College we are talking about is the process that is used to elect a president. So the Electoral College was actually established by our founding fathers, and it came about because it was a compromise between electing the president by Congress, which some founding fathers wanted, and electing the president just by a popular vote. So the Electoral College consists of 538 electors. In order to be elected president, you need a majority of them, like 270 votes from these electoral electors.
Currently? That's currently the number.
That is currently the number. Because it does change.
It does change, or it has changed over time.
So the way the number of electoral college votes is determined is that each state has a certain amount of electors. And these electors are based on party affiliations for the most part. Each party has who they have selected for each state to be their electors. And depending on who wins the presidential vote, the popular vote, then those are the electors that get sent to vote.
Oh, I thought that was based on how much money they donate to the Clinton Foundation. Is that not correct?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
We'll check the emails.
So, as we said, each state has a different number of electors, and it's based on the number of representatives they have to the House of Representatives and their two senators. So, for example, West Virginia, where we are, we have three congressmen in the House of Representatives and two senators. So, therefore, we have five electoral votes.
Five electoral votes. That's like five golden rings.
That's right. Which is not very many.
And that's the best phrase in the 12 Days of Christmas.
Five golden rings.
Five electoral votes.
That's right. That's all we have. And but California, for example, California has 55 because they have 53 people in Congress.
Damn them. That's about almost 50 more than us.
Almost. And then they have two senators. So every state has two
senators and 53 congressmen?
Yep.
They outnumber us. If we ever went to war, we'd lose.
Yeah, I don't think those congressmen are very tough.
You don't think so?
No, probably not. So, but I don't know. I'm speaking out of turn. There could be some tough congressmen. There could.
What if Arnold Schwarzenegger was a governor of California? What if he was a congressman?
Then
I would not want to go up against Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he might be like 65 or something like that, but he's a big some bitch.
He is. So, yeah, okay. So,
did I throw you off there?
You did. I was going to my explanation.
I'll be back.
I'll be back to my topic right now, where we have each state has two senators. That's set, but the number of congressmen you have actually changes based on your population and how many districts you have. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a different number, because California obviously has many more people than we do here in West Virginia.
However, we have about the same number of counties.
Do we?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, West Virginia does have a lot of counties.
We have 55 counties. Hell, in some counties, I think there's like three people.
That was one thing that was kind of interesting. when I went to Marshall, and I met people, and it's like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from Huntington, West Virginia. I'm like, where are you from? Oh, well, I'm from McDowell County. I'm like, is there a city there? I'm like, no, just McDowell County. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, the people of Wayne will tell you they're from Wayne County.
That is true.
They're never just from Wayne. They're from Wayne County.
Yeah.
Say, where are you going? Out Wayne?
Yeah. Out Wayne.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I always think, when I think of Wayne, though, I do think of Wayne proper, the town square there.
Wayne proper, the town square?
Yes.
There's nothing proper about Wayne.
I've been spending a lot of time in Wayne. I like Wayne. Everyone there is, like, really nice.
Have you been spending time in Wayne's World? We're not worthy. Hey, I got one for you. Do you know where the term electoral college comes from?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
Well, I happen to have that right here.
Well, do tell.
The term originated in the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire, not to be confused with the Holy Rollers, where the Latin phrase collegium electorum was used. Membership in the Holy Roman Empire's electoral college was hereditary.
Hmm.
This phrase was first written into federal law in 1845, and today the term appears in, and it gives some kind of code, which you'd probably know, but I don't know about that. But anyway, that's where we get electoral college, is from that Roman term, which, of course, our people don't earn it through heredity.
No.
So.
No, and it varies, too. You could be a delegate, or not a delegate, well, you could be electoral for 1 year for it, but then not the next year, just based upon whoever gets selected. So,
well, that's true. It depends on who gets elected for you to get selected.
Yes.
You got to be elected to be selected.
That sounds like something from Hamilton.
Well, it might be. Maybe I'll send that to Lynn. Maybe he might want to update it.
Well,
add that in there. As a matter of fact, a lot of this did come from amazingly enough, Alexander Hamilton. I couldn't believe it. When we were doing the research for it, I find out that the idea for the Electoral College actually came from Alexander Hamilton and part of his Federalist Papers. That they, you know, they thought about the popular vote, having the popular vote elect a president, and they decided that it was better to have an elector from each state that represented it, just like you said, with the congressmen and the senators, and you had the number of electors based on that. So they felt like that was a more fair and equal type thing, because at that time you had large disparities, not dispersities. Is dispersities a word? I don't even think that's a word.
It could be.
We could make one up. But disparities between the size of different states and how many people they had. So that's where that came about, so that one state wouldn't do it, even though you had three presidents in a row from Virginia. But their idea was these electors would get voted on. You didn't vote on the president. You voted on the electors. Then the electors used their wisdom and knowledge and prudence, and they voted for who they wanted to for president.
Right.
So the people didn't actually elect the president. The electors did.
Right. Well, that's still technically how it happens. But the thing is that the electors now... So
they're bound now.
They are bound. So as I was saying, that West Virginia has five. So by all polls, most likely Trump is going to win West Virginia, and based upon all the signs I see in the yards around here. So that means that the five electors are going to be bound to vote for Trump.
Right. And it's not like they're the same five electors no matter what. You have a two-party system, and that's right. What's kind of... A two-party system was not what our forefathers saw.
No, they had tons of parties.
Yeah, there was lots of different people, and you know, they imagined a thing where, you know, six or seven people are running at a time. So the two-party system kind of put a wrench in all of that. So now you have people that are the electors, and if the Republican candidate wins, then these five people from West Virginia are the electors. If the Democratic candidate wins, then these five people are the electors.
Right.
And they're bound in some cases by state law, and in other cases by an oath to the political party.
Exactly. There's actually some states that have laws that make it criminal to not vote how you're bound to. But actually, it's pretty rare.
No one's ever been prosecuted for it.
That's exactly right. No one has ever been prosecuted for it.
They can do whatever they want.
Now, the interesting thing, too, is that every single state is completely bound. All the delegates are bound up except two. There's two states where not all different electors.
It's not a winner-take-all.
Yeah, it's not a winner-take-all.
All the states but two, it's a winner-take-all.
And those two states are Maine and Nebraska. And the way they do it, they kind of take a slightly different approach. They allocate two electoral votes to the popular vote winner, and then one vote for each winner in each congressional district. So that would be two in Maine and then three in Nebraska. So it can be a split state, but those are the only two states that it's not winner take all. The other ones are, if you win that state, you win it all.
You win all the votes. But what I found was very amusing is after a couple of elections, the states decided to change the way this worked, because they would vote for the electors. And the electors would use their wisdom because they were smarter than the other people. And they'd say, I'm going to vote for this person. And then the state said, you know what? We want to have more of a say-so in that. So we're going to vote. And whoever we end up voting for that gets the most votes, we want them to have all of our votes. Alexander Hamilton and the guys back in Washington, they were like, oh, no, we can't have that. That's not what we want. They were really upset. They wanted to change that. They said, no, that's not the spirit of what the founding fathers found. We're the smartest people here, and that's not the way we want it.
Yeah.
But that's the way we did it, and that became the way they did it. And, you know, at the beginning, you didn't vote for a ticket, a president and a vice president. You just voted. Everybody ran for president, basically. And you cast votes. And the one that came in first was the president. The one that came in second was the vice president.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting system if you think about it. Because it actually would make people, I think, work together maybe a bit more.
Well, but it could cause problems. And that was the election of 1800. That was the one that came down between Burr and Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
And it ended up, they went 36 votes in the Congress, 36 rounds of voting before they finally decided on Jefferson won it and Burr was the vice president. But how willing of a vice president you think Burr was after losing that contentious of a race to Jefferson?
Probably about the same as Kevin Spacey's character in House of Cards when he was vice president.
Yeah. Yeah, just like Trump would be Hillary's vice president.
Dear Lord.
How good do you think that relationship would be?
The best. It'd be the best relationship, Tommy. Absolutely the best.
So they resolved that after that election in 1804, they went around and they decided, look, we've got to change this. So now you vote for the president and he has the vice president with him. However, the Electoral College, when they cast their five votes for president, you know, for West Virginia,
right,
their five votes, when they cast their five votes, they also cast five votes for the vice president. So they vote for both of them.
And
a little known fact.
Just when we were, just for clarification purposes, when we keep talking about states, we are actually including the District of Columbia as a state as well.
Because, yes, there are 51 that count.
Because as of the 23rd Amendment, they have been included in this process.
And how are their electoral votes determined?
They're the same way as the others. They're the full Monty, aren't they? Winner take all?
No.
No, how are they? How are they then?
They're determined by the... They have to have the same amount as the least number of electoral votes in a state. So,
what do you mean?
Well, in other words, like if the lowest number that any state has is three, then they have three electoral votes.
Oh no, I thought you meant
that raises to four, then they have four.
No, I thought you meant the are they split or are they they're winner take all?
Oh yes, they're winner take all. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know how many they had.
But that's how they're determined how many they get, because, of course, their population, they're a city.
Right.
They're not a whole state. So their city, you can't base it on their population. So okay, it's so based on...
Theirs is based on the lowest number.
Then. Whatever the lowest number of a state is.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And right now, that lowest number is three. So they have three. And that was another interesting thing. At the time when Republicans were in charge, it was forerunner of the Republican Party, the Dakota Territory was coming into play and wanting statehood. Instead of accepting the Dakota Territory as one state, that's where North and South Dakota came from. Because as one state, population-wise, they would have only qualified for three electoral votes. They divided it into two states. Since the minimum was three, they each get three votes. And since they were leaning Republican, that favored the Republicans. So that's why they split it in half.
That is amazing.
How you like that?
I don't think I like that.
You don't like that?
No, I don't. That seems too kind of conniving.
Well, it was conniving in the time. Of course, that was back in the 1800s. So we've got some of those 1800 people to thank.
Yeah.
But that's the way that worked. You know, that's how you got North and South Dakota. Otherwise, you just have Dakota.
I think we should.
Then people wouldn't know if you were talking about the state or Dakota Fanning.
We should just start a petition to merge the Dakotas so they lose their extra votes.
You know the thing that I've always wondered about?
What's that?
I bet nobody in North Dakota or people that live in North Dakota ever hear the question about, are they separate from South Dakota? Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
North Carolina and South Carolina, same thing. Yeah. You know, nobody says, you know, if you're in South Carolina, they don't say, are you anywhere near Charlotte? Because they know that it's two separate states.
Yeah.
But in West Virginia, we hear all the time, oh, Huntington, is that near Richmond?
Oh, don't.
Oh, are you a separate state? Hey, look, what'd you get in geography?
Yeah, I don't.
Where'd your 50 states come from if we're not, bud?
I don't even want to get started on this topic because having lived outside of West Virginia for years, it you talk about grinding my gears. If you're like, oh, are you going home to see your family in Virginia? It's like, no, I'm not from Virginia. I'm from West Virginia. And yes, I'm going to see my family in West Virginia.
And yes, that's a separate state.
Yes. And no, it is not near Richmond. And yes, no. Oh, don't get me started.
I know. That's what I say. You don't get those in the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Even though they have the same last name, you don't get that.
West Virginia, I also call it Best Virginia.
Well, I don't know. I yes, I was born and raised here, but We lived in Richmond for a while, and Richmond's a nice town.
You should go back there then if you like it that much. Then get out of town. Out of state. I don't care.
Drive down the interstate.
West Virginia is better.
Drive West down Virginia the interstate better. In Virginia, and then drive down the interstate in West Virginia and see which one looks prettier is all I can say.
All I say is West Virginia's better.
We should have strived to attain Virginia status. I mean, be a separate state, but we should look as good as they do.
We should make them
change. We're cut from the same cloth.
We should make them change their name.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll divorce them.
Well, we kind of already did divorce them.
Well, that's true.
Oh, we should do an episode about that. That'd be kind of an interesting episode, how West Virginia became a state.
Well, I know most of that, but...
I bet a lot of people don't.
I'll save it. I won't go into that.
Hey, let's do an episode on that. We should do that.
Not right now, though.
No, not right now.
Okay.
We should do that on June 20th.
Because?
That's West Virginia Day.
There you go. I hope we're still around on June 20th. I'll feel sad if we're not.
West Virginia? It will definitely still be around.
No, we've been around. Us. You but and
these
me.
These mountains have been around for years.
I'm talking about court appointed.
Oh, yeah. We'll still be around.
Okay, good.
As we were getting back to our whole electoral college dissertation.
Oh, yes.
So the electoral delegates, or I guess they're electorates, as they're called. They're actually not the delegates.
The electors.
The electors. A lot of times the delegates that you see that go to the party conventions, they are kind of the same people that end up being these electors. So that's kind of why I've been using the terms interchangeably a little bit, because a lot of times the delegates from those conventions are the ones who get the honor of going to vote for the president and actually picking the president.
And what can't the electors be?
They're not allowed to be an elected official, I do not believe.
Correct. Or a government employee.
Oh, no. So you can't be like a judge or anything like that, right?
No.
Yeah, so you have to be completely divorced from the entire...
Just a common, ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill dude.
Yeah.
Or dudette. We'll take dudettes as well. I was surprised. I looked up who the 2012 electors were from West Virginia. And I knew like four of the five.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd be like people I'd never heard of or whatever. But I mean, one of them, I mean, I grew up with. So I didn't even know he was.
Who's that?
David Tyson.
Oh, well, yeah. David, my office space is above David Tyson's.
Yeah,
he's an attorney.
You rent from him.
Yep. And I was actually speaking to David about this topic today. In my office, we were discussing this. So.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting. Yeah. And then I knew three other ones that I didn't know them personally, but I knew of them.
Right.
So I was surprised that I knew that many. Because I was thinking, who the hell are these people that go here and do this? I never heard of that. Now they don't actually all meet. They don't all, it's not like all the electors from all the different states all get together and cast their votes. And this is done like a couple weeks after the election. They go to their state capital and they actually do it before their, the Secretary of State or something to that effect. And they sign affidavits or something like that, mm-hmm. confirming who the votes go to. And then these are all, there's so many copies that are made and they mail them to different people at the federal level that accept these in and accept the votes from the states.
Right. Well, that's actually called a certificate of ascertainment. So
certificate of ascertainment.
Ascertainment, yes. And that is prepared by the governor of each
that
state.
Sounds like an entertaining ass.
Yeah.
Ascertainment.
I'm hoping to keep a PG-13 rating. I'm just going to move on. So the certificate of ascertainment, what that does is that lists, and it's prepared by the governor, and it lists the electors for each of the presidential candidates. So not only not just the ones who are actually voting for that individual presidential candidate who won, but also, like, for example, say if Trump wins this one, then the Democratic electors will be listed on that certificate of ascertainment as well, as well as the Republican ones. And it lists the winning presidential candidate for the state. And then basically, the certificate of ascertainment goes to the National Archives and becomes part of the official records.
Well, I understand all that, but it seems like a lot of pomp and circumstance and a real dog and pony show.
Oh, it certainly is.
I mean, is this really, isn't this antiquated at this point?
Well, it's. I'll tell you what it is. It's ascertainment.
Ascertainment. That's exactly right. See, I told you that's what that word was. I mean, could they all just get on one big conference call? Or they really don't even have to. Does it really matter?
Certificate.
These people don't have to make a decision. It's already made for them.
Certificate of pomp ascertainment.
Hey, do you know that in the 2000 election, that there was actually one person that did not vote their electorate as they were designated to vote?
I did not know that.
Yes. It was a lady from Washington, D.C., and she did it in protest. She was supposed to vote for Al Gore, who won Washington, D.C., and she withheld her vote. She abstained and did not vote, and she suffered no consequences. It did not affect the election in any way.
Yeah, because it was...
Bush still got 271 of the...
266 for
Yeah, for so Gore. It didn't really matter. Florida mattered.
Yeah.
Florida was the one, the hanging Chad one there.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned the hanging Chads before. So after the certificate of ascertainment goes to Washington, the electoral votes are counted in a joint session of Congress, and that happens on January 6th. And basically, the House and the Senate get together in the House, and they count all of the votes up, all the electoral votes. And then once those votes are counted, the president of the Senate... And do you know who the president of the Senate is, Tommy?
The president of the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
It's the majority leader, isn't it?
No.
Oh, the vice president.
Yep. The president.
The vice president.
The president of the Senate is always the vice president.
He breaks the ties.
Yes, he does. But once the votes are counted, the president
Except
of the Senate
announces. Except if you had a tie for president.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get into that here in a minute. So basically, the president of the Senate then votes, then announces, not votes, you got me off track again. The president of the Senate.
I'm good at that.
The president of the Senate then announces who has been elected the president and the vice president. And then the president is subsequently sworn in on January 20th at the inauguration.
Well, here's the deal. All right. We only have two parties here. So somebody clearly has to get 270, one or the other, because it's a two-way split. However, if we were ever to develop a third party, a strong third party, it would be possible that between the three candidates, none of them would reach 270. Now, it doesn't say you have to have a simple majority. It says you have to have a majority of the votes possible. So you have to reach 270.
Exactly.
Even if there's three of you. So if there was three of you and all three of you were strong candidates and you all got a percentage of the electorate, it's possible somebody didn't get 270. Then it goes to the Congress to decide who is to be elected. They have to pick from the top three candidates. So if there were four candidates, they would have to eliminate the bottom one and pick from the other three. And they would have to decide who that was. And the vice president cannot break a tie. It has to be out of the Congress. And then as far as the vice president, this is what throws me, is because they run as a ticket, but the House picks the president.
Yes.
All right. Then you turn around and the Senate picks the vice president and they pick out of the top two. What if they pick somebody different? What if they pick the Republican and the House picks the Democrat? Then we're back to Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr.
It would be interesting to see, that's for sure.
Well, until we get any more than two parties, it won't happen. And this would have been a great year to have more than two parties.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. I mean, I think the some of the...
Where's Ross Perot when you need him?
Or Ralph Nader?
Well, Ralph Nader was never legitimate. Ross Perot was a legitimate candidate.
Well, the election in 2000, that was kind of a really interesting election. And I think part of the reason why it was so interesting is because of Ralph Nader. And that was the election between Gore and George W. Bush.
And Nader did pull a lot of Gore votes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That helped Bush win the election.
Exactly. Because that was the one election where, actually, Al Gore won the popular vote. He actually received more people voting for him for president, but he did not win the presidency because he did not win as many electoral votes as George W. Bush.
Right. There have been four votes in history of the United States where the person that won the popular vote did not win. What was the one before him?
I don't know.
I believe it was Kennedy.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. I'm at least half right. I'm sure one of my fact checkers will help me out. Oh, and they have a name now.
Oh, that's right. What was it? I can't remember. It was really clever.
CAECO.
CAECO?
CAECO. Court Appointed Correction Officers.
Oh, that's right. The Correction Officers. Yeah, I remember thinking it was really clever.
We shall designate them as CAECO, Court-Appointed Correction Officers.
The Court-Appointed Correction Officers.
Yes. Abby Whitmire, I think, is the leader of them.
Is she?
Yeah.
The Texas Division?
Yeah, she's in charge of the Texas Division.
Yeah, they got a lot of electoral votes down
we
in Texas.
We have several of them that help us out. Just come to the Facebook site there, Court-Appointed, and you can see what the answers are to all the things I screw up.
Yeah, we just recorded.
Keep them busy.
We just recorded a video too. We just posted that on there too of us starting our podcast today.
Yeah, just a little insight into us getting warmed up.
It's like your bonus content. You see bonus content on the Facebook page.
Yeah, it's almost like being a rock star or something, huh?
What's that?
You know, putting out bonus content on our long playing EP.
I don't feel particularly like a rock star.
I feel like a rock star every time I come in here, Michael.
When you get in front of the microphone?
That's right.
You put on the headphones?
Me and the mic are one.
I can't deny that. You're sitting pretty close to it.
Baby got back. What has that got to do with anything?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I mean, that's kind of basic overview of the Electoral College, which is not a place but a process, and how it happens. So,
you know, I have found an article here that said that it is prompting all the state legislators to meet prior to this election. You know, this election, we have the two most unpopular candidates in the history of a presidential election.
I'm certain.
They, you know, and if you talk, most people say, I would rather there'd be a button that you push none of the above, you know, and that's what we've got to choose from. Personally, I don't know. I've been a Republican. I've been a Democrat. I'm more of an independent right now. I don't like any of my choices that I'm given. But this person is saying that they feel that all the state legislators should meet and unbind the electors. That they could do that. They could go in, they could meet, they could unbind the electors, and they could cast their electoral vote for anybody. Doesn't have to be who the state voted for. It could be one of the nominees. It could be the vice president. They could elect Pence or they could elect Kane.
Well, that would make our vote actually mean nothing.
That's true. But how many people do you hear that say, I'm not even going to bother vote this year?
Well, I mean, I've heard people say that.
I'm going to protest. I'm not going to vote for either one.
That's a cop out.
I know. I agree. You don't vote, you're wasting a vote. You got to vote for something. But you're being forced to vote for a choice that, you know, and a lot of people feel, I'm not saying everybody, I'm sure there's a lot of people on one side and there's a lot of people on the other that feel very strongly, but there's a lot of people in the middle that wish we had someone else to vote for.
Well, in the current situation as it stands now, I feel very strongly about my vote and where it's going to go. That being said, earlier on in the process, I had other people that I had in mind who I wanted to vote for.
Me too. I voted for somebody else in the primary. It wasn't either one of these two jokers.
Yeah.
So, but all I'm saying is that if it would be possible, while it would be highly unprecedented, it is possible the state legislators could all come together and say, we unbind our electorate, and they could vote however they wanted, whether it's one of the candidates up there or it could be somebody as yet unnamed.
I don't think I like that idea, though. I mean, it seems a pretty drastic measure.
Normally, I wouldn't, but at this point, I'd take almost anybody else.
Yeah. How about we just get back together and then we just say Obama can be president for 4 more years?
I think I'll remain undecided on that.
That was a long pause. I'm going to have to edit that out.
It could have been longer.
Well, another topic we're going to talk about that kind of goes hand in hand with elections and things like that is gerrymandering. So do you know what gerrymandering is?
Gerrymandering. Well, normally I would not. However, at one point in my earlier life, I actually ran for a local office.
What did you run for?
I ran for House of Delegates in the West Virginia. I didn't do very well, yeah. Which is probably good for them.
How many electoral votes did you win?
None.
I don't think anybody won any electoral votes, did they?
Well, they elected three out of my group. So there was six of us running. So I finished a very strong sixth.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's something he said.
I've got to congratulate the voters of Cabell County that they knew what they were doing in not electing me. I wouldn't have elected me either. So in retrospect, I don't know what I got into, why I even tried, but I would never make that mistake again.
I remember when I was younger, helping put up signs for your mom and going out and campaigning for her.
Yeah, she was in the legislature for 20 years.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I had a lot of people still called me her name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they thought I was Jody Smurl.
Yeah, that's what,
because they'd all heard that name. So when they hear Smurl, they just automatically say Jody.
Oh, hey, Jody. How you doing?
I just answer to it. Okay, yeah, I'm Jody. And after a while, you can't correct people. Once they've been calling you the wrong name for so long, you can't turn around and say, by the way, my name's really Tommy. Well, why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago? I don't know.
I
have no answer for that.
I didn't have the energy.
I didn't know you well enough to correct you. So I just let them call me Jody.
That's funny.
My friends call me Alice, and I'll take a dare.
Do you know what gerrymandering means, or is that distraction tactic?
It's dividing up districts to favor you politically for votes.
That's right. That is exactly what it is, and it's illegal to do for certain reasons, but it still happens in this day and age. So one of the interesting things,
it's not illegal, and that's one of the things that disturbs me. It should be illegal.
No, I agree. Now, I mean, there's certain cases where there's a Supreme Court case where it was invalidated when it was based upon racial lines, I believe.
Correct.
But for the most part, it's not illegal. So you can kind of draw them around, change them around, mix and match.
But when is it not illegal when it's drawn around racial lines?
I don't know.
When it favors the race that it's drawn around.
Really?
Yes. In areas in the South, the way that they kept minorities from having a voice is they would divide up. Like, say you had a large urban area that was predominantly one race. Mm-hmm. You would divide that area up into four or five that then were married with larger populations of the majority, not the minority. That way, then, they didn't get a voice. Later on, what they did is they divided this around where the minority was the entire district. That way they would then get an official elected out of there that they had the voice in. So as long as it benefited the minority group, it was okay. If it kept them suppressed them, then it was not okay.
Yeah, and the other basic principle that whenever you're looking at these different districts, and this is state legislatures, whenever they've drawn these lines in the Supreme Courts in different states, they've cited compactness along with the contiguity of the different districts to make sure that they were districted properly.
Yeah, if you look at the breakdown of a lot of the states and the way the congressional districts run, they are absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean, they split and they run up over here and they go over there. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
The one thing that's kind of funny is that if you, I saw this a couple different places. Whenever there's no, this is what the site said. There's no real definition for compactness, but it's very similar to Justice Stewart's "I know it when I see it" definition for obscenity being used.
We get that all the time.
Yeah,
I know it when I see it.
I don't know if that district's compact, but I know it when I see it.
Do you know where the term gerrymander actually came from?
I'm going just to guess. I really don't. I'm going to guess that it had to do something with to keep German votes less popular, maybe? I don't know. I don't know. What?
It had to do with the governor of Massachusetts in 1812. His name was Elbert Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y. And he had them redraw one of the districts to make it politically advantageous to him. And when they redrew it, several of them put in the paper the artwork of it, and it looked like a salamander. And since his last name was Jerry, they coined the phrase gerrymander.
And that's interesting.
That was where it came from in 1812. So this happened all the way back then. They were already gerrymandering it to make it so that you would have an advantage for that. Now, what I don't think is fair is that still to this day, gerrymandering is okay. that the party that's in power, you don't, it used to be it was tied to the 10-year census. Mm-hmm. Now they've done it updated from that. You know, one of the biggest ones was Rick Perry did it in Texas in like 2003 after they'd already had the 2000 adjustment. And then in 2003 he did it. And they called it Perrymandering at that time. But they adjust it to fit the, you know, whatever party is in favor. That's just not right.
Yeah, I agree. It's horrible.
The ones that lose are us, the common people. We're the ones that lose because your vote means nothing. They gerrymander these districts around so that instead of it being an actual vote of people from that district, they fix a district so that it's all this group and this one, Democrats and this one, or Republicans and that one. They want to shortchange people here so they don't overwhelm it. And it's just not right. I don't care what party is in charge, whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's not right.
No, that's the hallmark of being an American, is that your vote counts. And that's one thing that always makes me mad, too, whenever you hear about different parties trying to restrict voter registration because it benefits their candidate or things like that. That just infuriates me.
It grinds my gears.
It does. It grinds my gears, too, because that's like a hallmark of being an American, to have your vote and make it count. So,
but here's the thing.
If you can't win the election then, and you're trying to suppress voters, that's just wrong.
Both sides do this.
Oh, absolutely.
And both sides are aware of it. Now, when you get the upper hand, you've been, you know, on the losing end of that. Now you got the upper hand, you're going to give payback. Instead of, when are we going to reach the point where people say, you know what, this was wrong when we were on the losing end, and it's wrong when we're on the winning end. Let's make it right. You know how they, what they've got that could fix all this?
What's that?
Computer programs.
Computer programs?
That's right.
To draw the districts?
They have algorithms that you put in there that compare the, what do you say, compactness and contiguousness?
Contiguity?
I'm not sure how to say that. I don't think either one of us are saying it right.
Probably
but what
not.
It has to do with is being connected. In other words, you don't want to divide a district right down the middle of somebody's house.
No.
You want to divide it by neighborhoods that are like, that are the same. All right, so you divide it by that. So you put it, you can put these factors in an algorithm. You can run it through the computer, and the computer can tell you, here's the way the districts are. Now, the districts won't favor Republicans, and they won't favor Democrats. They will just be a conglomerate of the voters within that area, and that's what it should be.
It makes sense. That could be it could lead to disaster, too, because what if the computers start electing who they want? And the next thing you know, computers are taking over. Then we have a computer that's the president. And
well, you know, the robots are going to eventually.
That's the day Skynet became active.
That's right. The robots are going to take over eventually. We're making them for companions and everything else.
I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds creepy.
They have robot dogs. Have you not seen the robot dogs?
Oh, I went somewhere else.
That's the first step. There's robot dogs. Now, why does somebody want a robot dog instead of a real dog?
Less poop.
Poop. That's the main point, poop.
I'm a dog owner. I can tell you that right now, poop.
You get rid of the poop, and the dog is a more compatible thing. But what happens when our most loyal friends turn on us?
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all. You say fetch, and the guy looks, the dog turns around, looks at you, and says, F you. Now what are we going to do?
Well, that's a talking dog. That's a whole different story.
If he's a robot, he can do anything.
Yeah, I don't want my dogs talking. I just want, like, you know, to bark. And
I'm just saying, robots one day are going to take over the world, so you might as well get used to it. Just enjoy it while you can. Well, we are inferior. They have AI. Do you know what AI is?
Artificial intelligence.
Correct.
But the
I don't even have.
But the first law of robotics, they can do no harm to humans. What, you know, they
artificial intelligence wipes that out. They start learning. They see what we do to each other, and they say, well, if they can do it, we can do it.
To kind of get back on topic to...
That was off topic?
Gerrymandering. Slightly.
I didn't, robots will solve our problems and then kill us.
I didn't know you were such a robotophobe. I just coined that term, I think, robotophobe.
Robotophobe?
Yeah.
I may be one. I don't own any robots. I barely know how to use my phone. And I'm still struggling on Facebook, despite Tiffany Butler's tutorial. I evidently uploaded the T-shirt draw incorrectly because there were some people that couldn't see it.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know. I mean, I think you had your privacy settings set properly, but who knows?
Well, it had something to do with they weren't friends of mine or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's privacy settings.
Yeah, like I said. It needed to be uploaded directly to the group. So someday I'll learn this. The robots will do it for me while I'm strapped to a gurney somewhere.
The one interesting thing I came across was a website called redistrictinggame.org. And it's actually an online game where you can practice your gerrymandering and see how it's done and see its potential impact. And it's an online game. And that's redistrictinggame.org.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I played around with it for a little bit today when I was at work and not working and gerrymandering virtually.
Oh, one other thing we left out on the electors, it just came to me. You cannot have ever committed treason against the United States to be an elector either, unless voted on by Congress that says you're okay.
Well, I think that's a good law.
Yeah. Well, you know where that came out of?
Benedict Arnold?
Civil War.
Civil War. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to add that in.
Yeah. I think if you're convicted of treason, I don't know that you should be allowed to vote, period.
If the Congress says you're okay, you're okay.
Oh, well, I mean, if Congress says you're okay, then you're okay to do whatever you want. If Congress says you can go walk down the street and dress like a robot and shoot people saying, bow to me, I am a robot, then you can do that. But
that's exactly right.
Is that the example you had in mind, too?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Robots can do that. I found it interesting when we're talking about gerrymandering, some of the people that were involved in it through the years. Now, when you think of Patrick Henry, what do you think of?
Well, he's a revolutionary hero.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
Correct? He was a governor of Massachusetts. He tried to gerrymander it so that James Monroe could beat James Madison in their senatorial election. However, Madison won anyway. After the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was passed, some states created majority-minority districts in which the majority of the constituents in a district are non-white based on census data. This practice was also known as affirmative gerrymandering. And LBJ was one of the ones that worked with Dr. Martin Luther King to process effective gerrymandering, which they felt, while it was gerrymandering and it was affecting who would be elected from a district, it was for the overall good of the communities that they do that.
Right. It needed to be done. Have you ever heard the clip of LBJ ordering pants?
Ordering pants?
Mm-hmm.
No.
There's a YouTube clip, and it's an audio recording of LBJ on the phone with the president of Hager Pants. I think it's Hager Pants. And he is ordering pants from the president of the company, telling him how he likes his pants and what size he wants and how to send them in. And it is absolutely awesome.
Well, I'll guess I'll have to listen to it to understand that, because LBJ ordering pants does not sound like something that would be that interesting.
It is hysterical.
Well, I'll believe you. I'm just that kind of guy.
I've got a quirky sense of humor, a little bit, but that's still pretty funny.
All right. Now, do you know someone that would be involved in Chicago-style politics that would be involved in gerrymandering?
Let's go with Daley.
How about our current president, Barack Obama, who was from Chicago? In 2001, with Democrats in control of Illinois redistricting, I said that right, didn't I? Then State Senator Barack Obama was apparently able to reshape his district to his own specifications, as detailed in The New Yorker, that included drawing in wealthy supporters from Chicago's Gold Coast. The new redistricting maintained Obama's Hyde Park base and then lunged northward along the lakefront and toward downtown. This way, he was able to bring in big-time donors to go along with his strong constituent base.
I don't know how that would affect his demographic, though.
He was looking forward beyond the Senate.
Oh.
Do you know what he ended up being?
No.
The president.
Who?
Barack Obama.
He's president?
Yeah. Where you been? What is this, like a, what was that movie where the guy gets unfrozen?
Encino Man?
Yeah, Encino Man. I feel like I'm with Encino Man. With that beard, you look like Encino Man.
Strangely enough.
With your elk hunting beard.
This is 2 days in a row that I've talked about Encino Man.
You know, the same thing happened to me the other day.
Was it about Encino Man?
Well, no, not Encino Man, but it was the same type thing. It was an amazing coincidence that came up just like that. I had Charlie at McDonald's the other day, my granddaughter.
I know her.
And I had her at McDonald's. Well, you might, but not everybody listening knows who Charlie is. They might think, who's Charlie? Who do you have? Charlie? What does that mean? Charlie, my granddaughter, I had her at McDonald's, and she was asking who some of the characters painted on the wall at the Playland were, and I could not for the life of me remember the purple blob-looking guy.
Oh, Grimace.
I couldn't remember that name. So, of course, being the demanding person she is, she demanded, who is that? What's that name? So I finally said, it's Bloopy. That was all I could come up with, was Bloopy. Well, that night, we're watching TV, and Fresh Off the Boat is on, and the grandmother, of all characters, is dressed up as Grimace and says, I'm Grimace. So I said, that's who it was. It was Grimace. Why did I forget that?
Was Charlie watching it with you?
No, Charlie wasn't watching with me, but I knew for my own satisfaction. So now I can tell Charlie who it actually is next time.
Did you tell her yet?
No, I haven't told her yet.
Well, you got to tell her soon, because what happens if, like, she's hanging out with some of her little baby friends and she sees a Grimace and she's like, oh, look, it's Bloopy. And then they're all like, that's not Bloopy, that's Grimace. You're a poo-poo head. Then next thing you know.
Without the context of being at the Playland, if I say, Charlie, remember the other day when I told you that purple blob guy at McDonald's was Bloopy? It's really Grimace. She would just look at me and say, let it go, let it go.
She would be in full costume as well.
I don't care what the people say. Let the storm rage on.
Coming in a little hot there, Tom. A little hot.
Cold never bothered me anyway. Did that sound good?
It's a little hot in the mic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to bring us to our favorite part of the episode.
Legal briefs.
So legal briefs is where we go over some different terms that we've discussed during the episode. Typically, I ask Tommy questions, but sometimes he asks me questions, too. It's kind of like a little back and forth.
You just never know, do you?
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know. Is that how that goes?
Yeah. You know, I saw a picture the other day, and they said, identify whether this is Bill Murray or Tom Hanks.
I saw that picture, too.
I could not tell, but I guessed it was Tom Hanks and it was Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason I should have known that is he's on a golf course, and Bill Murray lives on golf courses.
Well, I saw the thing and said, a lot of people think this picture of Bill Murray looks like Tom Hanks. And I saw it, and I was like, no, it doesn't. It looks like Bill Murray. But they kind of spoiled it. It was a spoiler.
Well, mine, it didn't tell you which one. It said, is this Bill Murray or Tom Hanks? I thought it was Tom Hanks, and it was Bill Murray. Maybe they're the same guy. Have you ever seen them in the same movie together?
Did you see the Saturday Night Live clip of David Pumpkins?
Oh, yeah.
I'm David Pumpkins.
I wanted a little context on that. I don't know. It wasn't funny until the very end. It was funny, but the leading up after the first time and the last time, it was funny. But the four or five times in between, I wasn't laughing.
I died laughing the first time I saw it.
Now, I like Tom Hanks. I think he's great. I remember him back on Bosom Buddies, although I thought Peter Scholarly or whatever his name was, I thought he was the one that was going to be the star out of that show. I thought Tom Hanks was the second banana to him. But I don't know. Maybe he was just a better looking woman.
That's true. They did dress up like that.
Yeah.
So the first term is electoral college.
Electoral college is the process by which we elect our president, that instead of the popular vote, each state has so many electoral votes. And these votes you have to get a majority of, which is currently 270.
Man, you nailed that one.
Hey. I know some stuff. I once ran for office. I know these kind of things. Wasn't the president or anything.
So if you see somebody that has a diploma on their wall that says Electoral College on there, you might want to take a closer look at it.
Yeah, I want to see that college. I think it's like the University of Phoenix.
The University of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
So
Rand University, as Randy Moss would say.
Rand. Straight cash, homie. So now this question is about the different states, and basically every state is their electors.
I'm in a state of amnesia.
State of amnesia. every state is tied. Their electors are bound actually to what the popular vote is. But there's two states that are split where the electors are split and they don't necessarily have to all vote the same way. And do you know what those states are?
Maine and Maine and Oregon, I'll say.
Nebraska.
Maine and Nebraska. I was one off.
The Cornhuskers.
I was one off.
One off?
Yeah.
Oh, N and O?
L-M-N-O.
Were you thinking alphabetically like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. My brain would never, I would never like process it that way.
That's the way I work.
Really?
Yep.
That explains a lot.
Straight alphabet, homie.
So, next term is certificate of ascertainment.
Certificate of ascertainment. Well, that's like when Beyonce dances, we get ascertainment.
That's true. We also would have accepted Shakira, but
Shakira? Really? When was the last time you saw Shakira anywhere?
I don't know.
Beyonce is a little bit more relevant, isn't she?
I don't know.
Queen B.
It's true.
Got to get out. You got to turn out for Queen B. The certificate of ascertainment is what the electors sign that go on to the federal government that secure the votes for the electoral college.
Yes. That's what it gets sent to Washington. It's kept in the National Archives and has both parties' electors in there, whether or not they actually get to be the elector or not. So you get your name in history in the archives if you become an elector.
Huh. I might have to run for that sometime.
I don't think you run for it.
You get picked somehow by the party.
I think you have to donate money.
Well, then I'm out of that. I'm not donating to them anything.
The next term is gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering? Well, we talked a whole lot about that.
We did.
That came from Elbert Gerry, the governor of Massachusetts in 1812, who split up a district where it looked like a salamander, and the newspaper coined the term gerrymander.
Yeah. How would you like to be that newspaper guy? He's the one that, he wrote the term gerrymandering.
Well, there's some debate about who was the actual one, and there were different artists that were involved in drawing it. And they actually, when the drawing, they said it looked like a salamander, but the drawing they put in the paper, when I looked at it, it looked like a dragon. They had wings on it and horns and everything else. So.
Tell you, like Al Gore invented the internet. I invented the internet. Right. I invented the question mark.
Well, he also said that he was the one that was the main character in Love Story.
Al Gore did?
Yeah. That he was the Ryan O'Neill part, which how many people listening know who Ryan O'Neill is?
I listened. I know who you're talking about.
You might even be closer if I said Tatum O'Neill. Some of them might know who Tatum O'Neill was.
Yeah.
His daughter, who won the Academy Award with him in Paper Moon.
Oh, okay. I actually never saw that. I saw Love Story.
But even she is dated on this, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I knew Love Story. I knew Ryan O'Neill just from Love Story, but... Tatum, no.
Tatum O'Neill was his daughter and starred with him in a movie called Paper Moon when she was about maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, that's
but I digress.
That's older.
As usual, I know.
And the last term is compactness.
Compactness. That has to do with the districts and part of the measurement of how the district should be divided between compactness and contiguousness.
How do you define it?
What has to do with the closeness of the neighborhood to each other, that the district should be within proximity to each other as opposed to spread out into districts that meet your particular needs.
And how do you know it?
You'll know it when you see it.
Made me work for that one, Tommy. Work. Well,
I realize where you were going with it now. All right, and for you.
Oh, no.
Where does the term electoral college come from?
Oh, that comes from the...
And I actually said this, so you did. I'm this not springing one on you. I haven't done it.
That comes from the Roman term, calabrum rectum...
Rectum shit killed him. Oh, no, I've lost it.
It comes from a Roman term. I can't remember off the top of my head, but...
From the Holy Roman Empire, Caligulum Electorum.
Caligulum...
Not Caligula. That's a totally different movie.
That you know, it's. I'm glad you brought that. That is a totally different movie. I'm glad you brought that up because that reminded me of one of my favorite Saturday Night Live skits. You remember the one? It was Coffee Talk with Mike Myers. It's Coffee Talk. Talk about coffee stuff. No big whoop. I think that's how it went anyway. But I guess he went, I'll give you a topic to discuss. The Holy Roman Empire was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire. Discuss. When he said that the first time, made me think of that.
Well, the one I always think about when we get together is the one with the two ladies that did the discussion, Mary Gross and who was the other one? Was it Cherry O'Terry or something? And they would discuss, and they had Alec Baldwin on there one time. Talk about his sweaty balls. That's what I always think about is you and me are those two ladies talking back and forth.
Yeah, they were a bit more reserved, though. We're not quite the NPR quality that they were.
You don't think we're reserved like that and talk about the sweaty balls?
And the next episode of Court Appointed, we will discuss the Holy Roman Empire. Neither holy nor Roman.
Or an empire.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.